Welcome to Spoiler Appetite. I'm Tristan. Yeah, let's just, it's been a while, hasn't it? Like usual, I try to do things, you know, things get in the way. And, you know, sometimes I just forget to do a podcast. And, you know, I was going to do one last week, but I didn't because, you know, didn't have the motivation to do it, obviously. But now I do. Yeah, a lot has happened, hasn't it? A lot of movies came out, a lot of things I've wanted to talk about, and some things I probably didn't want to talk about, but, you know, just feel like I just wanted to put it on the podcast, of course. But in any event, so how it's gonna roll this episode, as you can tell by the title, not only will I be doing my top five favorite movies of the year so far, since we're halfway through the year of 2023. But, you know, I figured if I was going to do this, I might as well do my top 10 best and worst of 2022. Yeah, because I was supposed to do that last time, and, you know, shit got in the way, and, you know, now I'm like, what is it? When was the last time I did one? Like, 5 months ago? So I'm like a couple months. I'm a few months behind, so. But anyways, but as the saying goes, you know, what's it goes? It's better late than never. So, with that being said, you know, let's start off with 2022 movies, you know. I don't want to spend too much time on these, you know, with my 2022 best and worst movies, but anyways, let's start with the bad. Starting at number 10 of worst movies of 2022 on my list, Babylon. This was a movie that I was really, really looking forward to. You got an ensemble cast, and I just kind of felt like, eh, you know, it's not bad. It's not like the worst movie of that year. No, there's 9 other movies that I just didn't find. But this is like, not as bad. I could still rewatch it, but it's just like at the end of the day, I was just kind of like, well, that was just a movie, I guess. I don't really know. But yeah. On my next list at number 9, I got Death of the Nile. I think the problem with Death of the Nile is the fact that I didn't see the one previous one. What was it? Orient Express or something like that. Death of the Nile, I think the problem with it that I had the most is that I was comparing it too much to Rian Johnson's Knives Out, and I just felt like there's, this is an old-fashioned kind of mystery movie or whatever, and I don't know, I just wasn't really fascinated by the characters or whatever, and so I just kind of was just like, eh, this is kind of whatever. Also doesn't help that Armie Hammer is like the lead in it, and it's just kind of like, yeah, I remember that guy. Until, yeah. But anyways, that's number 9. And number 8, I'm going to say The Invitation. Now, I think halfway through this movie, I was okay with it. I mean, I thought it was fine, but I think my favorite part is when you realize, hey, vampires. That's kind of the deal with this movie or whatever, because I just wasn't buying this romantic love story or whatever, and then all of a sudden vampires out of nowhere. I was like, okay, sure, I guess, whatever. I didn't feel it at all for me personally. So that's that. At number, what are we, 9, 8, 10, 9, 8, 7. At number 7, I got Scream. 5? I think this is 5, because 6 came out this year, right? Scream 5. I really don't know what to say. I mean, I like Scream, preferably the first movie, because I cannot remember anything past the first movie. I like, that's where my love for this franchise is. I mean, Scream, the first Scream is definitely on my favorite list of horror movies. Like, it's probably in my top 10 easily, the first one at least. There's just something to love about it. But number 5, I don't know what it was. I mean, it's, you know, it's relying on, it's like any other franchise that comes back after a hiatus, you know. You know, they cash in for, you know, the nostalgia, and, you know, they want to do justice by the characters, and I think it just goes to show that I think because of the fact that I don't remember anything after the first Scream movie, I just wasn't into it. And I think I am officially not over the trend, but I am just like, you gotta do better with this whole, like, having characters for a recognizable IP and making the characters, like, the children of the former, somehow related to past characters. Like, you gotta do better than that. And I just got over it. I was just kind of like, this is like the first one. I mean, okay, the deaths were pretty cool, but I think just overall, I'm just like, I don't understand this movie. I really don't get it. I don't know. I just didn't have a fun time like the rest of the people that saw this movie. So that's just me. But I don't know. I just think I'm over Scream. So yeah, that's my feelings on that. I didn't even see the new one, to be honest, because again, didn't really have an interest in it. I sure got spoiled for it, that's for sure, which is like, all right. So, but anyways, at number 6 on my worst movies of 2022, let's go Black Adam. I mean, again, I've said this before when I did my comic book ranking of 2022, Black Adam is just like, again, it's one of those movies where the more I thought about it, the more annoyed I became with it, because in the beginning it was like, it's fun, pretty generic, you know, it's not trying to do anything new with it. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, they really did waste those characters from the JSA, and I'm just kind of like, I don't, like, what do they want? They're just basically there for, like, plot device, and that's kind of it. And that's like, you gotta give me more to these characters. You can't just break it down of what their abilities and their little bios or whatever with the narration that Hawkman was giving, Carter Hall or whatever was giving. I was just like, I need more than that, like, because I don't really care. I think the saving grace is, yeah, the action is fun, and I gotta say, the suit designs, man, fucking killer. I mean, I still love that Dr. Fate suit design. It's really cool. But that's pretty much all I got for it. So, yeah. So, but anyways, heading into my top 5 now. We're in the top 5. Number 5, Uncharted. I never played the games, but man, if you're gonna do a movie based on an IP, and I get it, your main audience is the fans, but also recognize, not everybody plays video games, you know. For the average moviegoer, they don't know what Uncharted is, and I just didn't feel the chemistry between Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland's characters. I didn't feel that chemistry at all, and everybody was just kind of turning on each other for the sake of the items that they were getting, the riches that they were going to get. It's just kind of like, I'm kind of over it. And just, I didn't care for it. Also, why did they have to kill Antonio Banderas' character off? I mean, not much was going on with his character or whatever, but it was like, man, it's so nice to see that dude in movies. But why they needed to kill him off, I have no fucking clue. But yeah, it's just kind of whatever at the end of the day. But yeah. Anyways, at number 4, gotta go Morbius. Morbius was definitely one of those movies that was I knew going into it, it's probably gonna be bad, but you know what? Maybe it's gonna be that Sony villain movie that I'm going to like, and everybody else is just not going to like. Because I liked what I saw in the trailers, and I had a feeling that it was just going to be my jam for some reason. You know, everybody's got a list of dumb movies and stupid movies or bad movies that they got on you know, I thought this would be one of them, and it certainly wasn't. Like, it was bad. Like, I did not enjoy it at all. I think one of the biggest problems, I just feel like, just came to the plot. It just feels so niche and generic, and I don't really know. I think the only saving grace is, again, I think performance-wise, everybody does pretty good, and I love the design look of Morbius. I mean, they got it down. I mean, they really did. And I liked it for that. But other than that, this is dog shit. Like, this was dog shit at best. And after three movies, I am just so checked out of these Spider-Man villain movies. Like, Kraven the Hunter, we got a trailer for that, like, last week or something like that, and I'm just like, you know, I like action, and the action looked cool, but I'm just like, I'm not expecting anything from this movie at all. I'm just expecting just bland, boring, spectacle action or whatever. So, but yeah, Morbius, I just felt like, oh God. And then the post-credit scenes, I mean, wow, way to, the icing on the cake, holy shit. Because they just don't make sense to me. They really don't. Like, Michael Keaton showing up in the Sony-verse or whatever they call it. Whatever they're calling it nowadays. That was weird because, according to the logic of the Doctor Strange magical spell, that doesn't make any sense. And then that other post-credit scene where you see Michael Keaton's Vulture showing up to Morbius and being like, we should take on Spider-Man. Morbius is like, yeah, we should. And it's like, how do you draw that conclusion? Like, how does that make any sense? Plus, Morbius seems like a good guy to me. I mean, he wants to do right. And Vulture doesn't, I mean, I don't get it personally. I really don't get it. They just will not fucking let that Sinister Six movie idea die. Like, I don't even know if we'll get it, to be honest. I don't know if we'll get it. I mean, we'll see. But anyways, Morbius. Fourth worst movie of 2022. And number three, this one hurts. This one personally hurts because of its predecessor movie. Thor Love and Thunder. I had all the hopes in the world that this was going to be great because Ragnarok, I fully fucked with. I think we all fucked with it. And then Love and Thunder just came out and, man, I don't know what the fuck happened. I really don't. I mean, for the first time ever, like, humor has never been a problem for me when it comes to the MCU or whatever, but with Thor Love and Thunder, I mean, yeah, that just wasn't it. And plus the fact that it's like, you have the Christian Bale. Like, you have Christian Bale, one of the greatest actors ever. I mean, and you just, he's just barely in it. I mean, for a character that's called the God Butcher, no God Butchering or whatever. But, again, I'm just still not over that they just kind of just, like, what a waste of time. Like, what a waste of time. I mean, my God. And when he was on screen, it's like, I want to see what Christian Bale is in right now. Like, what movie is he in? Like, what movie does he think he's in? Because compared to everything else, I just like, I don't know. I don't get it. But anyways, number two worst movies of the year, of 2022, I mean, The Gray Man. I don't think I've ever hated a Netflix original movie more than The Gray Man. I just, it's generic, and I think what also makes me upset is just, like, hearing the budget for The Gray Man. And it's like, really? You put all that money into it, and that's the best you can come up with. Okay, I guess. Like, again, for me, when it comes to movies, I want to care about the characters more than anything. Like, I don't care what the plot is. Just make me, like, connect with the characters on some level, you know? And I love Ryan Gosling, but man, the generic, you know, one monotone character or whatever. It's just like, dude, I'm over this. The saving grace is, of course, is Chris Evans as the villain. It's like, that's awesome. But everything else is so stupid. And I imagine all that budget went to the spectacle of all the things, which was pretty cool, but you gotta do more than just big giant spectacle. Like, actually make us care about the characters, you know? I don't know. And then the worst movie of 2022 on my list, Rob Zombie's The Munsters. I knew this was gonna be bad. I watched this with my mom, who loves The Munsters, and even she didn't want to watch it. But I just figured, you know, since I was visiting her, we'd all watch it. I didn't realize how bad it was going to be. Like, oh my god. I mean, I'll give it this. The only good thing about it is the set designs. Everything else, not so much. I mean, oh my god. I mean, for starters, I mean, I guess I'll also give him credit where it's due. It's like, okay, he really just wanted to keep in that same vein as the classic The Munsters show. I'll give him that. But at the same time, it's like, you're really not trying to reinvent it in any way possible. Okay, you just, I think the best review I saw for it was Rob Zombie basically made a Munsters movie of a Munsters movie that he wanted to see. It's like, that's it. That's the review. That is, like, the best way to describe this movie. Because, man, it's awful. I mean, how it's written, dialogue, and it's just like, god, this is, and it looks so cheap. And, you know, the set designs look good, but, like, man, looks so cheap. But anyways, that's my top 10 worst movies of 2022. Now let's get to the good stuff. But first, let's start with some honorable mentions. So, my first honorable mention is going to be Clerks 3. Kevin Smith's Clerks 3. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it a lot. Really caps off the trilogy, and it went somewhere that I didn't expect it to go. And I really liked the journey, and especially watching it with my dad, who has been there since with the first Clerks. And it was just a great time to watch it with my dad. Another honorable mention, I'm going to say Black Panther Wakanda Forever. I mean, look, it's really good. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I think everything worked on it. And, you know, this was definitely a personal movie. I mean, with Chadwick Boseman passing or whatever, I mean, they made the best movie that they could with this one. Another honorable mention is a gay romantic comedy called Bros. I really liked this. It was charming as hell. I just really dug it a lot. A lot of laughs, and it was just good time. I also have The Fablemans on my honorable mention. Steven Spielberg's semi-biography about his autobiography about his life, and it was great. It was fun. I mean, yeah, I mean, talk about his love for filmmaking. Just great. It's amazing. Then we got James Cameron's Avatar The Way of Water, which, man, I was in awe of the whole movie. The fact that this is all CGI from, like, all of it. Just incredible. It was an experience. And the fact that it made $2 billion still blows my mind. Like, really? Because when I went to go see it, my theater was packed, but I was not prepared to see it make $2 billion. Like, that's crazy to me. But good on James Cameron. You know, I really liked it. I thought it was just a lot of fun. I mean, I didn't even care that it was like 3 hours long. I really didn't. And then my last honorable mention, I'm going to say it's The Batman. I know it's not on my top 10, but, you know, movies are subjective, and I just found 10 other movies that I found more enjoyable. And The Batman, again, and I really like it. There's really no gripes I have with The Batman, other than my personal preference of how, you know, I want to see Batman on film with, you know, Batman Fighting the Fantastical, which I'm sure we're going to get with James Gunn's DCU. But anyways, Matt Reeves' The Batman, it really does do something new. I mean, I don't get the comparison people say about, you know, Christopher Nolan. It was like watching another Christopher Nolan Batman movie. I'm just like, are you sure? Like, okay, in the sense that the tone is very set and grounded in reality, I get that. But aesthetically, it's different. It's so different. And even how Batman is written, how all these characters are written. I mean, yeah, just Batman alone, very different from Christian Bale's Batman. I mean, when Bale's Batman started off, he knew what he wanted, and he knew the risk. Whereas with this Batman, Pattinson's Batman, he doesn't give a fuck what happens to him. And that's kind of, I mean, and eventually he has to realize that, you know, it can't all just be about vengeance. There's got to be some sort of light. I mean, whatever that light is, there has to be some sort of, like, little hope in it, you know. But yeah, the Batman is my last honorable mention. So let's get into my top 10. At number 10, Dog, starring Channing Tatum. I mean, simple story about this veteran that has to deliver this... I'm forgetting the word. It's late, okay? This dog to the funeral that this dog served with in the military, and it's just, oh my god, it really warms the heartstrings, honestly. It just really got to me. I mean, it's a dog movie, come on. At number 9 of top 10 movies of 2022, Marcel the Seashell with Shoes On. Oh my god, for an hour and 30 minute movie, this was so adorable and so sad. It's just like, this is a really feel good kind of movie, and I loved every minute of it. It was just adorable. It was fun, and it was funny, and just it was so good. Man, I just at number 8, I gotta go The Menu. The Menu was definitely one of those movies where I felt like, oh, I know what's going on, but I really didn't. I really didn't at all. And the fact that The Menu was basically this chef invited all these rich people to come to his island, only to not only kill them, but also tell them why they're gonna kill them. And it's just like, man, this is really, and Ralph Fiennes is great. I mean, everybody's really good in it. I mean, especially Ralph Fiennes. And then there's Nicholas Hoult, which, I mean, my god, I would love to see Nicholas Hoult play more villains, like straight up villains. Like, that would be amazing. I know he was up for the running for Batman and Matt Reeves' Batman movie, and he was just recently in the run for James Gunn's Superman Legacy, and since he didn't get it, and his name is still kind of, I guess it's suggested to play Lex Luthor, I would so be down if Nicholas Hoult was casted as Lex Luthor. I just feel like people need to see Nicholas Hoult as a villain. Like, I just feel like The Menu really was like a great introduction of him just being a villain. Not so much as like Mad Max Fury Road, where he was a villain, but then he turned good, and it's like, no, man, I want to see Nicholas Hoult bring the villainy to Lex Luthor, however that is. But yeah, The Menu was great. The Menu was absolutely great. At number 7, I gotta go with Blumhouse's The Black Phone. Talk about a movie that I was just kind of like, I felt so tensed up when this kid gets kidnapped by this crazy person played by Ethan Hawke, and it's just like the whole time I'm just waiting for Ethan Hawke's character to kill this kid, and I'm just like, oh, I don't like this at all. He could come down the stairs at any minute now. It's just like, ugh, god, I'm not ready for that. I just wasn't ready for it. So yeah, that's number 7 of my top 10 movies of 2022. At number 6, I gotta go Rian Johnson's Glass Onion. I mean, this was definitely great. I loved all the characters. I loved the mystery of it. I even like the weird twist that happens that it's great. I liked every minute of it, and I'm just like, the only downer is I wish I saw this in the movie theater, because I was just like, I would like to see this on the big screen. Like, it's kind of what killed my enjoyment for some of it. It was just like, man, to see this on the big screen, I don't think it would make that much of a difference, but it's just like, I wish I saw this in the theater. But no, Netflix only gives like movies a week in around the world for like a week or whatever, and it's just like, come on. So, but I just loved all the characters. The cast was great. Everyone really acted it off really well. And you know what? Again, I'm up for a third one. I can't wait to see what Rian Johnson does with the next Knives Out movie. Honestly, I really fucked with it. So at number 5, I got RRR. I mean, I generally don't like to watch movies that are being hyped and in the moment. So I kind of waited until the RRR hype died down, and I watched it, and oh my god, it's like an 80s action movie set in the modern time. I mean, simple, basic stuff, and man, it just goes and goes and goes, and it's like fucking fun. It's absurd, but when it's absurd, I feel like that's when it's at its best, and it's fucking wonderful, and it's, oh my god, it was great. It was definitely worth the hype. I definitely understood why it was hyped up that much. So, that's number 5 on my top 10 movies of 2022. At number 4, I'm going to go Turning Red. This was adorable. I mean, it's a shame that this got put on Disney Plus, because again, I'm all about going to the theater. But yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed this coming of age story. And, you know, of course there was going to be backlash, which anytime there's backlash for stuff, most of the time I'm just like, what a joke. Like, the backlash to this movie is just like, okay, whatever, guys. But yeah, Turning Red was really good. I liked it a lot. At number 3, gotta give it to, like, the most surprising movie of 2022, which is Pearl, the prequel to X. And X, I thought was, I liked it, but it's just, it's A24 movie, and of course it's going to get weird. But when I heard that they were doing a prequel, I was just like, huh, okay, I guess I'll go see it. Biggest surprise of that year. I mean, there's a reason why it's number 3 of my top movies of 2022. It was really surprising. I mean, Mia Goth's like performance really gave me Anthony Perkins vibes. I mean, my god, I could not believe what I was watching. It was just crazy. It was crazy. I couldn't get over it. I loved every minute of it. And this is the movie that I was just like, okay, anything that Mia Goth is in, I'm gonna follow her. I mean, specifically her smaller movies like Infinity Pool that came out this year. I mean, she's just, man, she's one hell of a performer. Like, I just loved it. I loved it a lot, and it's probably, oh god, I'm now gonna have to look at my favorite horror movies, like my top 10 or at least top 5, because Pearl is probably gonna be up there. That was just like a big fucking surprise to me. At number 2, we got Top Gun Maverick. This was the summer movie of 2022. And what's funny about it is the fact that I wasn't raised on Top Gun. I never saw Top Gun. So I went to Top Gun Maverick having never seen Top Gun. And to be honest, it was still effective. It was still effective. You understood what was going on. Like, if you never saw the first one, that's okay. Like, you get what's going on. And my god, it was just like, it was the movie of 2022. I mean, it was just like, it's, again, it's not trying to do anything deep, but you still feel what the characters are going through with Maverick's character, and, you know, and they do something, you know, the opposite of what you see with these legacy characters these days, is where, you know, when it comes to these legacy characters, and some of it worked for me, some of it doesn't, you know. I mean, Indiana Jones, I didn't feel like the grief and loss that Indiana has in Indy 5. I guess that's a little spoilers, but it's just like, I didn't feel that at all because the movie doesn't play it. But with Luke Skywalker and The Last Jedi, I felt that. And with what Top Gun Maverick does is like, no, like, he's not like, he's not broken down, he's not miserable or whatever. It's like, no, he's still doing what he loves, but he still has that regret of letting, of Goose dying, and ultimately, you know, pushing back his son's papers or whatever for going into service or whatever, and seeing, God, what's his name? I see him right now. The Rooster, you know, Rooster and Maverick's character butting heads. You feel it, but it's not like overdone or whatever. And it should, it entertains you. There's drama, and it's just like, it's, it does it so fucking well, and it shouldn't, but it does. And my God, it was just everything. My God, no wonder that movie gets praised so much, because damn, is it entertaining. Like, this is what you want from a summer movie. Like, it's got an, it's got a nice blend of everything. Like, it really does, and it's incredible. So the fact that it's not even my number one movie of the year says a lot. And, you know, but yeah, Top Gun Maverick, hell of a movie. But of course, we come down to my favorite movie of 2022, which is Everything Everywhere All at Once. I mean, this just might be my favorite multiverse movie ever. You know, more so than the Spider-Verse movies. I just, it's so damn good. And it was so nice to see it get recognized at the Academy. And my God, it was just, it's a bonkers fucking movie. Like, it just, it's fucking crazy. And, you know, it's A24, so of course they're going to get fucking crazy with it, which is awesome. I just, oh man, just a lot of things going on in that movie that I'm just like, this shouldn't even be fucking possible. But man, again, A24, they are, them and Jason and Blumhouse Productions, owned by Jason Blum, they are the, definitely the smaller production companies that I kind of look at to, like, I look at their movies and just be like, man, for such small budgets that they have, they do a lot of great things. And, you know, I just, and Everything Everywhere All at Once, the fact that it blew up really made me happy. It really did. I mean, whether it was getting Oscar wins with actress, actor, and just writing and all this stuff, like, I was for it. Like, it made me happy. It was just like, wow, this is incredible. I just fucking love this movie, dude. Like, it's one of the greatest movies ever. Like, I don't care. It really is one of the greatest movies, and nobody can convince me otherwise. So, yeah. So, with that down, you know, I just spent, God, what is it, 30 minutes now on 2022 movies? Let's get to the main topic, shall we? So, we are officially halfway through 2023, and I just figure, why not make a top 5? I didn't make a top 10 because I just felt like, eh. I mean, looking at what I've seen this year, it's like, let's just do top 5 since we're like halfway, you know, half of, you know, 10, whatever. But, of course, let's do some honorable mentions, shall we? I mean, and who knows if this will show up. This is not a guarantee that these honorable mentions will be on my top 10. They might, but we'll see by the end of the year. But here are my honorable mentions. Megan. I mean, it's just fun. It's a Blumhouse production movie. I mean, it has this little theme to it about what technology is doing with kids or whatever, and how kids are responding to technology and all this stuff. It has that little sublime message under it, which is kind of interesting, but I really liked this movie a lot for what it was. I will say, there was a moment in the movie that really, made me uncomfortable. Made me almost want to, step outside of the auditorium for, a few minutes or so, because it just really got to me. And I understand that the movie presented the scene where what happens is basically Megan, the doll, kills a dog. But when hearing that dog whimper going through the fence, being dragged really quickly through the hole in the fence or whatever, and you just hear that whimpering, it really got me. I've never had a moment like that really shake me, and it was I just couldn't stop thinking about it. It was just okay, I understand, because that dog bit the little girl or whatever, but at the same time I'm I wish it was done differently. I really wish it was done differently, because I don't know what it just made me so upset. it really did. I mean, it didn't ultimately kill my enjoyment for the film. As you can see, it's on my honorable mentions. But yeah, that scene really just I think that's why I probably haven't gone back to rewatch Megan, because of that scene. It's just and I'm not the kind of person that skips scenes or whatever. Well, recently I've been skipping scenes for The Flash final season, but anyways, but yeah, but anyways, Megan is a good movie. I really fucked with it. Another honorable mention, Cocaine Bear. I mean, what is there to be said? I mean, there's really nothing to be said there, because it's just you hear that title and you're just yep, it is exactly what you think it is. I mean, granted, I could have used more Cocaine Bear personally, but other than that, it's just a dumb, fun movie. I mean, come on, what is there to say? Another honorable mention, gotta go Dungeons and Dragons. I am not a D&D person, shockingly. I know that's probably shocking to some people that are listening right now. Not really into D&D. I would like to watch a D&D campaign one day, because maybe I could get into it. I don't know. But D&D just never been my thing, but this movie, fuck, is it fun. It's a lot of fun. And I went with somebody who definitely knows that plays D&D, loves D&D. And he's got to say, even he thought it was great. I mean, he said it was a lot of fun. It was very true to what D&D is and all this stuff. I mean, D&D is basically making your own campaign and let the shenanigans play or whatever. And then I saw another friend that said it was basically, the movie was it was like playing D&D with your friends or whatever. That's kind of how it was. So, but yeah, it was a fun time. It's a shame that it didn't do well in the box office, because I personally wouldn't have mind another one, honestly. And then my last honorable mention, I got to give it to Ben Affleck's Air, the story of how the Air Jordans were made. And wow, Ben Affleck is a good director. Can we just admit that? If you've seen The Town, Argo, Air, I mean, it's great. I mean, this is my third Ben Affleck movie I've seen. I didn't really see the one before it. I don't know what it was. But anyways, Air was just, it was a nice little movie. It was a nice, fun little movie. And I enjoyed seeing Matt Damon and Ben Affleck work. I mean, they were just great. I mean, I really liked it. It was a nice little movie. I cannot lie. I really liked it. So, with that being said, let's get into my top 5 favorite movies of 2023 so far, since we're now at the halfway point. At number five, got to give it to Creed 3. I mean, Michael B. Jordan, his first directorial debut with Creed 3, he really rocked it. He really rocked it. I mean, it's definitely my second favorite Creed movie, because the first Creed movie is just like, God, what Ryan Coogler did with that first Creed movie was just incredible. But Michael B. Jordan, I mean, if he wants to direct more, I think Creed 3 has shown that, yeah, he can definitely, like, he can direct. And I know he incorporated anime into it, which I imagine was the last fight between his character and Jonathan Majors' character. And I'm not into anime, but it didn't bother me. But I really like that artistic choice that he made. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, the emotions were there. I mean, the drama was there. The characters were, like, well-written. It does feel like there is an arc going up. And I really loved it. I really did. I know that Rocky not being in it might be a turnoff for some people. But for me, I kind of like, it is a glaring issue. I will not deny. It's kind of weird not seeing Rocky in there, especially in certain moments. But I think this is a great way to, like, get Adonis Creed out of Rocky's shadow, you know? I just feel like this is a good way to do it. And I really liked it. I really liked it. Now, if they make more, great, awesome, I'm here for it. Don't know what you do, but then again, I didn't know what to say with Creed 3, because I was really, it's funny, because I've never seen a Rocky movie. I know what happens in them, but I've never watched them through and through. But I was really worried that with Creed 3, we were gonna have Jonathan Majors' character be someone related to Rocky's past or whatever, with, you know, it's the son of Mr. T's character. You know, I was afraid of that happening, but I like the fact that they went with somebody from Adonis's past or whatever. You know, that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, that's number five. At number four, Evil Dead Rise. I mean, holy the fuck. I mean, it's funny to think. I really like the Evil Dead franchise. Not really a fan of Army of Darkness. Like, that's probably my least favorite of the Bruce Campbell Evil Dead stuff, because, I don't know, Army of Darkness, I just felt like, I don't know, it wasn't, I think because of the fact that it didn't have an R rating is what made it suffer for me. And it was just like, it's, I like that it's bigger or whatever, but it's like, I do miss, like, the horror-ness of it all. Like, the blood and gore of it all. And, you know, it's funny as fuck, I'll admit that, but yeah. But anyways, cut to now. And it's funny, before I saw Evil Dead Rise, I knew that the 2013 Evil Dead had nothing to do with Evil Dead Rise, but I wanted to give it a shot and just be like, okay, let me give this a shot. And 2013 Evil Dead, you know, I was enjoying it, but I just couldn't get over the fact that, you know, the main character, like, it, the 2013 Evil Dead being, they're in the cabin to get this person clean or whatever. That's great. But the fact that it focuses on the character's brother just was like, why? Why? And then we save that character who's getting clean, and she finishes off all the deadites or whatever. Just like, oh, why? But anyways, so it was kind of disappointing to me. But anyways, Evil Dead Rise. I fucked with it. I think one of the things that really stands out to me is the camera work, and the fucking makeup was great. I love the fucking atmosphere. I fucked with it so much. I was just like, this truly feels like an updated, definitely a better, modern of Evil Dead. I mean, it's not campy, but there's a lot of goofiness that kind of happens in it. But, and just the way the Deadites were written, were just like, yeah, those are Deadites. Just, that's a Deadite. And just, even the mom that gets possessed, I don't know that actress, but the makeup on her was great. And just the way she acted was like, man, I will say the only thing I didn't like about Evil Dead Rise was the opening with the cabin. And it was like, did we need this? Did we need this? You didn't really need this. Because by the end of it, I mean, cool title card, by the way. Really like the title card reveal. That was cool. But I think this scene was just kind of unnecessary. Because by the end of that sequence, we go back into the past. Like, we go to how this all started. And it's like, I wish you cut this out, and then you can have that ending where it turns out the Deadite is still, the spirits are still alive. It's just like, kind of wish, but anyways, it's just one long scene that I can get over. I mean, it's Evil Dead Rise is great. I mean, it's graphic. It's just, it's everything you would hope an Evil Dead movie would be, you know? And I like the characters in it too. And I was shocked. I was shocked that it was mostly the family. Everybody except the little girl and the aunt. That was crazy to me. That was crazy. So, yeah. Evil Dead Rise. I might just own that movie on digital just for the hell of it. Anyways, I've gone on long enough about it. At number three, I got John Wick Chapter 4. I mean, what is there to say? I think this movie, and it's crazy to think that the last time we got a John Wick movie was 2019. That was 4 years ago. And first of all, to see the box office just go through the roof, crazy. Fucking crazy. And deservedly so, though. I mean, the movie's long, but goddamn, is the action amazing. Like, it's just, we're here for John Wick. We understand. Like, there's not really much you can do with the John Wick character as far as, like, progressing his character, because he's got a, what is there to do? Well, he's still got to clear his name or whatever, and he does. And then the new additions with Donnie Yen and everybody else, really awesome, really cool. And again, the action is just fucking wild to me. It's just like, this is crazy. I mean, especially the camera being above that house or whatever that he's in. It's just like, dude, that's fucking baller. And then the steps, oh my god. And then he gets to the top, but he gets kicked back down the steps, and it's like, fuck, dude. Like, that's such a great moment, too, because first time seeing it, it's like, oh, fuck, he's got to do it all over again. Like, you felt the stress. You felt the stress, and oh, my god. Dude, John Wick Chapter 4 was great. I will say, I know they're making a fifth one, but creatively, the creator in me, well, it's not even my IP, but, like, the artist and the writer in me, I kind of wish he stayed dead. I mean, granted, we never saw a body but be put into a casket or buried. So I'm just like, it's just, it is what it is. But, man, I fucked with John Wick Chapter 4. We all did, and it was great. So, but, you know, they're making a fifth one, and you know what? I can't blame them, because, you know, financially, hey, more money is to be made, you know? More money is to be made, and I just, the fact that they just made it work, I'm blown away by that. At number two, I got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I mean, what a way to cap the trilogy. I mean, the trilogy is, now that we've had three Guardians of the Galaxy movies, I mean, they're really good. I mean, I rewatched the first two before I saw three, and, you know, first one is still my favorite, and then I would say Volume 3 is my second favorite, and then 2 is my least favorite, which, and even then, 2, I think what suffers for me with 2 is the villain. I think that's pretty much it, And but it's still entertaining. But anyways, Volume 3. I mean, wow. First of all, it looks amazing. I will say the only downer I have with this movie is the fact that Adam Warlock, yeah, he's just there. He's just there for the sake of being there, I guess. Not much going on over there. So it's kind of like, eh, whatever. But other than that, what a fucking fun movie. I mean, and what a tough movie to watch, too. It's just like, when it pulls on the heartstrings, it pulls on it really well. Yeah, animal cruelty is a hell of a thing. Jesus, I mean, wow. I don't know how you pronounce that actor's name, but the person that played the High Evolutionary. Man, he was so fucking good. Like, his performance could have been over the top, but it was just like, this is a character that, oh my god, he thinks he's God, and he wants to make civilization, like, better. And the fact that what he does on, what is it, Earth? What does he call his Earth? I don't know, but what he does to Earth, he just fucking blows it up. Like, that's fucking crazy, dude. And, man, and also the biggest surprise, look, the movie has been out for almost 2 months now, so, spoilers. The fact that nobody died fucking surprised me. I for sure thought Rocket was gonna bite it because of the fact that how the trailers leaned into Rocket and all this stuff. I really thought he was gonna go. But the fact that he's still alive, I loved that nobody died, because that was truly the biggest surprise for me. It's just like, wow, nobody died. That's so nice. That's such a refresher, because ever feel like with some trilogies, they had this weird feeling of like, oh, we got to kill off a character since this is the last one. It's like, but you don't have to. Why does everybody have to die at the end of the trilogy? You know, it doesn't have to be like that. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Whew. I mean, it was up there with my number one, but my number one just beat out Guardians of the Galaxy. And my number one, my favorite movie of the year so far, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I mean, I have seen this movie, wow, how many times have I seen it? I want to say 3 times, and all 3 times I still wrestle with, what do I love more, this or Into the Spider-Verse? Because I think what I want to say Across the Spider-Verse, because of the fact, the only reason why I'll say that is because of the fact that it packs more of an emotional, like, gut punch than Into the Spider-Verse. Like, there's more to it. And, oh my god, the way it ends is just like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I know a lot of people got upset how it ends, but I didn't care, because the journey just to get to that final ending was just like, dude, so fucking worth it. And god, I cannot wait for the next movie. I mean, are we really about to get a trilogy of movies, like, in the conversation of, like, best trilogies ever? Like, if Beyond the Spider-Verse can deliver, I mean, wow, it's just crazy. But the fact that Across the Spider-Verse, and the runtime is long, but you never feel it. And the animation, the artwork, the designs, I mean, god, you gotta give it up to the VFX people and all the people, the animators that worked on this. It's like, I mean, goddamn, I feel bad that they had to work, what was that article said, they were working 11 hours a day for, like, 7 days a week. Like, 77 hours a week. That is fucked up. That is so fucked up. But goddamn, if I could just shake hands with all those animators, I would do it. I would just be like, man, I am so sorry that you, like, you worked ridiculously long hours. But man, you stuck through it. You did great. And you made one hell of a product. I mean, you animated the shit out of that, and it paid off for good. I mean, yeah, like, seriously, though, like, we, the VFX people in animation, like, give these people a break, man. Like, I just, man, they should not have to go through all that hell, honestly. But, man, again, kudos to the animators, and especially grueling through those fucking hours. I mean, you guys really did one fucking hell of a job animating the shit out of that movie, and it just looked amazing. But even the story, and, like, I am tired of multiverse movies in the comic book genre, meaning, in that sense. I'm tired of it. I'm personally tired. I'm over it, because it's now getting gimmicky, and it's gotten to the point where I don't feel the stakes. I really don't feel the stakes, but somehow Across the Spider-Verse makes you feel those stakes, and especially what's revealed in this movie is just like, holy shit, this just got, not only did the stakes go up, but it's now on a personal fucking level, and it's just like, No Way Home couldn't do that, and I like that movie, but No Way Home couldn't do that. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness couldn't do that shit. And just, oh my god, crazy, crazy. So, yeah, I mean, Spider-Verse, I mean, Across the Spider-Verse is my favorite movie of the year so far. And, yeah, that's my top five favorite movies of 2023. Man, we still got five more months to see what else comes out. I mean, I didn't make a top five worst movies because there wasn't enough. Like, even the movies that weren't on this list, I was either like, yeah, it's okay, or I liked it, but didn't really stand out to the five that I had or the honorable mentions that I had. But yeah, so that's my top five of 2023. Hope you guys had a listen. Hope you guys had great time listening, sorry. But anyways, hopefully I'll get back to this again, you know, fingers crossed, like I always say, hopefully I can get back to this. But in the meantime, thank you guys for listening, and as always, I'm Tristan, and you've just been spoiled.